Heavenly Father, we just want to give you thanks and praise, God, and all the glory for all the great work that you do in our hearts and our minds and our lives and the lives of our loved ones, Lord. We pray that you would just open our ears and our minds and hearts to the scripture verse that you have for us, and that those on the radio also would be gleaned from this as we study a small portion of your word from the book of Isaiah. Verses that I'm going to talk about here from Isaiah 58. They're near the end of the book of Isaiah. We've been studying this book in our Sunday school, still at the beginning of it. And getting into it, we find it's a very complex book of contemporary things going on at the time with Israel, and also futuristic prophetic things that are happening. So it kind of goes back and forth a lot from the beginning of the book, and it has just so many different aspects to it that it's so relevant as it was yesterday as it is today, thousands of years later. So I'll start here with Isaiah 58:1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. It is such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? And what's happening here in this time, the prophet is commanded to speak boldly. I don't know if he's got a big crowd, but the Lord wants to get their attention. It's almost like they're walking, going through the motions with their worship and respect of God. They're quick to run in the temple, but they're just kind of... as the prophet uses that word, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And that was what's happening at this time. They're into kind of this fasting, but their hearts aren't in it. They're just going through a looking good as some of the New Testament. They're fasting with an attitude, like Luke says in 11:16. They're complaining if they kind of contort their faces and look like they're suffering instead of anointing their heads and washing their face. And the Father who sees in secret will reward them openly. So in other words, they're kind of just, they're not really thinking about what they're doing. They're not even thinking of who God is, the Creator. It's almost like they're treating him as an idol where they can just say a quick, like a genie in a bottle type thing and just, God help us to whatever their intentions were. But God knows the desire of our hearts. He knows exactly what we're thinking. And at the time, these people were not thinking of him. They were thinking of their own wishes and desires as far as getting their labors. In the book of Acts, there's a good example of this when Paul is arrested. And he's going to be sent to Caesarea, and the Jews take an oath and bind themselves in a fast, and they won't do anything until or eat until they kill Paul. And it's a similar thing going on here. It's for some reason that it's hard to understand their thinking of it, but we're all susceptible to this. I remember as a kid in a church that we used to go to, we used to have a thing, we'd give stuff up for Lent, and we would think that, oh, maybe God owes us some good favors if I gave up bubble gum or whatever, candy and stuff like that. And, but it doesn't work that way. God wants us to come and bow low and just to humble our hearts, not to think that we're going to force his hand or that he owes us anything, like it's a wage. This is a time where we can draw close to God in a similar idea that we can speak to him face to face in honesty. As it talks about in Genesis, that Moses spoke to God face to face, and he talked to him as a friend. And that's what God wants. He wants us to be real, even if we're angry with him. He wants us to tell him about this, and not to play games. And I think that's what was happening here. There was a lot of, games that, you know, God, we did this for you, and you haven't noticed, but you really owe us a few favors. And there's no cutting deals with the Lord. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows what we need. He knows what's in our hearts. So we give thanks and praise. I noticed that the pastor has used this phrase recently in his sermons. It says, we get to instead of we ought to. And this has really kind of caught my attention. It's like, yeah, this is a real privilege. If we fast, this is something we get to. It's a real privilege to come before God and humble ourselves. And he will lift us up in due time. Not something we ought to do or we need to do to get it out of the way. Anyways, that's all I have.